We will start out with some great news. I'm sure you know that as of yesterday, for the first time since the pandemic began, zero new cases here in Quincy.
We're very happy with that. We've been watching those numbers for 14 months, and it's just awesome. Just awesome. So good to be out and about with people and seeing people get back to, you know, whatever normal is in their lives. But I tell you, it's interesting, Joe, one of the things that people have said to me, and I know what they mean, there's some things we learned out of this. And I'm not talking about dealing with the virus, but really about what's important in priorities and spending more time with your family at home and the things we take for granted. And I think that's a lesson we should not forget.
Absolutely. How are the schools doing during this time? I know they're all back and full in-person learning now.
Indeed, and we've been doing the pool testing in the schools. You know, it's voluntary, and everything has gone extremely well. I did see, you know, the discussions at the school committee over the last several weeks, you know, when whether remote would be open again in September, and I'm seeing major cities like New York and L.A. and everyone saying remote's all done. September's going to be full school. That's how I feel about Quincy. We got to get back to it. There's no, I know remote was a great alternative to have during this, but there's no substitute for in-person learning. I really believe that. And it, also in the day and age of kids on the electronic devices all the time, being cooped up at home on top of all that, I just don't think it's healthy at all socially for kids. So now we're going to be dealing with the next few years, Joe, the mental health issues that came out of this, the addiction issues that come out of this.
Yeah.
We don't take that stuff lightly. I mean, we're glad the pandemic's getting behind us, but now we got to, you know, get back on track and attack some of these other issues.
Yeah, I'm sure we still don't even know the full impact of that that's going to be, you know, realized over the years to come. And I think even some kids, I think, are saying, yeah, dude, I want to be back in school. Did you ever think you'd hear that?
No, really. That's true. That's very true. We've got kids of all types. You know, when you were back in school, like, I know when I was back in school, the subjects I liked, I loved the social aspect of high school big time.
Mm-hmm.
I probably could have studied harder, there's no question. I look at my three kids, and they're all different and experience school differently. But, boy, the kids need to be in school for all the right reasons.
Sure. Will there be any changes in the school budget going forward?
Well, the school budget is increased because we got an increase in Chapter 70 money from the state. Which will allow us to, we've got to add a few teachers, paraprofessionals here and there because it's trying to keep class size in the range that we like.
Yeah.
We'll be doing some extra robust summer programming for summer school for kids to help them get a jump start for September. All the contracts are up right now. So we're in negotiations with all the unions. So we got to deal with that issue as well. So A lot of balls in the air, but it's a stable budget. It's a good thing.
Speaking of money, there is a meeting, as you know, the Finance Committee of the City Council tomorrow night to talk about the bonding of the pension obligations. If you maybe explain that for folks a little bit.
Sure. The pension obligation and our outside auditors for years and advisors have indicated that's a black mark on us, because it's an unfunded liability. Well, what does that mean? That means if everybody retired tomorrow, there wouldn't be enough money in the system to pay for it. And the Quincy Retirement System is a separate entity from the city. There's elected members, there's appointed members. I do appoint one member to the five-member board. The returns have not been as robust as some other systems. So our number goes up each July 1st to make up the difference, essentially. And under the law, that's how it works. So every year I get a bill. So this year my bill will be going up, I think it's around $4 million in 1 year, just done to get to that number that they need to get to by, I think it's 2037. Under the state law, it's supposed to be fully funded by that time. So it's a liability in the books right now. We've talked with a number of experts, and we've done the analysis that if we bonded this right now with the low interest rates, would actually be saving millions of dollars each year, and it would give us some stability going forward. So it's like kind of refinancing the house. You know, you bought the house, you're paying a mortgage at, 6 or 7%. You refinanced it at 2.8 or 3%. There's a significant savings there. That's how I, you know, kind of sum it up for the average person to get, that it's a liability either way, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But by taking care of it in full, we have a stable number going forward in our budget. So I think it's the smart move. And what makes it work, quite frankly, is the low interest rates, historic low interest rates. And over the years, there's been other cities that have done it. Worcester's done it. Brockton's done it. Andover's looking at it. There's states that have done it. Plymouth County's looking at it. So it makes sense. Now, it's still, some people say that's a lot of money. It is, no question. And so is the unfunded liability piece, which is going to continue to go up each and every year and eat into our regular budget. So the thought here is we get a stable number going forward. It's significantly lower. Therefore, we can budget better. We can put more money in reserve in the OPEB trust, which our advisors like to see. So I think it's a no-brainer. But having said that, I certainly respect the city council, their due diligence over the next, obviously, tomorrow night, at least for the finance committee meeting. And hopefully we'll get a positive recommendation out of the finance committee. Now, we will have to get this approved by the State Administration of Finance, A&F. We know that. And it's kind of one of those things, you know, who goes first? If we don't get approval from the council, there's no point in talking to A&F. So we're kind of, you know, dealing with the council piece first. We'll immediately go to A&F to get their thoughts and hopefully their approval.
Would it be a fixed interest rate for the life of the bond?
That's exactly right, and that's why it makes so much sense.
And how many years would the bond be for?
We do it for 30 years.
Okay.
Right now, the schedule is out to 2037, but as has happened in the past, my guess is the state will extend that again,
mm-hmm.
to allow you more time to get to your full funding. Therefore, the 30 years sounds like it exceeds the schedule. It does, but I know there's another extension coming on the schedule, so it probably would come out to about the same.
Okay.
But yes, it'd be the same. We'd be a locked-in interest rate. We'd be paying the same amount each and every year, and it's a significant savings.
And what would that do to the overall city debt load?
Well, it's interesting because you really don't get punished for it because it's already a liability. You know, the experts look at this and say, hey, you've got a major unfunded liability. Well, we're dealing with that liability now, but we're bringing on some heavy debt. So it's a kind of a wash from their viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. And to the bond rating, does it impact that at all?
No, the bond rating is going to getting impacted by the times we're in.
Okay.
So, you know, the pandemic, you know, we made some moves last fall that, you know, maybe it wasn't the smartest move on some of the financial moves, but we didn't know what the hell was going to happen, Joe, with the
mm-hmm.
pandemic.
Yep.
You know, we didn't know if the economy was going to, the border was going to fall out. Therefore, we essentially had minimum to no tax increase for most people last fall. We dipped into our reserves in some of those accounts, and you know the bond people don't like us to do that. So, you know, I'm sure they're not thrilled with that. But my guess is we'll hold the AA rating, and we'll hold a stable outlook, and go from there. We have put additional debt on with the police station and the roads and sewer and water and all stuff that needs to happen. I mean, there's no point in building a reserve. Well, the city's falling apart. You know, it is a balance that we try to strike to take care of our public assets, our buildings, our roads, seawalls. At the same time, try to build our reserves and be responsible. So it's a balance, Joe, as
mm-hmm.
I talk about
yeah.
frequently. So I think we're striking that balance.
There is a lengthy article in today's Boston Globe regarding Quincy's affordability and attractiveness compared to Boston. It's quite an interesting read.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
I don't usually read the Globe, but I'll have to check it out.
Mayor, quite a surprise during the Quincy College commencement last Friday from Rob Hale.
Yes, as you know, Rob Hale is the founder and president of Granite Telecommunications. He also is the owner of Fox Rock Development. Remarkable individual, one of the most driven people I've ever met, and he's done extremely well. Great American story. I mean, he started with nothing and created an incredible company, hiring 2,300 people. You know, he's doing very well. And we invited him to speak at the college graduation, and he was thrilled. I thought his speech was terrific because it was real. He talked about his experience, about getting to the top and then going bankrupt, and some great lessons. But obviously the most interesting part of it was when he announced he was giving each of the graduates two envelopes with $500 cash in each envelope, and one was for themselves as a gift from him and his wife. The other was to use for somebody in need or charity in need, pay it forward, help somebody else along the way. I tell you, people were blown away. And I saw graduates, getting very emotional over it. Yeah. People at Quincy College, they're not very wealthy people. They work hard, and many of them are working as they're going through college. And so I tell you, it was just remarkable to watch and be part of that day. So, again, hats off to our great corporate citizen, Rob Hill.
Yeah, it made national news, actually. So it was definitely something that was unique for sure.
Sure was. And I think that it gets the word out about Quincy College as well, what a great institution we have. And to have that kind of a caliber speaker was terrific. You know, in addition to obviously making the day of the graduates, it was also a big day for the faculty and folks at Quincy College who work so hard each day.
Yes. Next up, of course, the high schools.
Indeed.
Any gifts expected there, Mayor?
Well, I'm not. I don't have that kind of money, so I hope the kids don't expect it from the mayor of the city. But
the gift will be an in-person ceremony.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, yeah. As we're coming out of it, both high schools are going to have a prom. They're going to have prom party. Yep. They're going to have a full graduation. So I'm very happy for them because they really bore the brunt of it. Obviously, last year's seniors got kind of gypped, you know. but this group has gone through 14 months, so it's been tough. They lost their junior prom, lost a lot of activities. And just the experience of high school, they lost so much of that. So, yeah. So I'm happy for them. At least they'll finish with a bang.
Absolutely. Always good to talk to you, Mayor. Appreciate your time.
Same here, Joe. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.